Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of environment are you expecting here tomorrow night at Wrigley, especially this playoff series, this historic playoff series?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be here a number of times in the last 10 years, and I know how great this crowd can be and how impactful it can be, just like ours were in the last two games. So, you know, we've got a battle on our hands, and we know that. And the crowd will inevitably play a role, you know, and impacting them.
Score evenings, weeknights 6-9.
Well, it has been relatively close these first two games of the NLDS. The Cubs lose 9-3 and 7-3, but we will have baseball back at Wrigley Field tomorrow. Again, our pregame coverage will begin right here on The Score at 3:30. First pitch scheduled for 4:08. Again, your only local broadcast in Chicago. Look forward to listening to Pat, Ron, and Zach. Let's listen to Sparky Fife for now, joining us from The Fan in Milwaukee. Get us set for our matchup coming up tomorrow afternoon. Sparky, is this the way you saw the series going? Were you as confident as the Brewers are playing currently?
No, I thought the Cubs would put up a fight somewhat, but that obviously isn't happening. I am surprised. I said at the beginning of the series, Brewers in five. That was my prediction. I thought it would be a good series. I thought the key to the series would be the Brewers probably have to score four or five runs. If they did that, I thought they'd have a chance, you know, to win a couple games in this series and have a chance to win game five. I think many others, did not see 16 runs in two games coming. I don't think anybody saw that. But, you know, this is kind of reminiscent of what this looked like in that 14-game winning streak that they had when everybody was saying it was, you know, Euchre magic, taken after Bob Euchre, who passed away earlier this year, of saying, you know, kind of Euchre is like looking down from above and kind of sprinkling that pixie dust on them, and one thing after another was going right for the Brewers. They did not play well in September. You know, they were right around 500, sub 500. Offensively, they had slowed down. Jackson Trio was hitting like 200 in the month of September. And it wasn't a good vibe. And the hope was, or at least my hope was, going into that bye of the wild card round was, okay, a few days, refresh, reset mentally, relock back in, and let's see if that changes things. And it appears through two games, it's definitely changed things, and these guys are ready to go again.
Yeah, Sparky, it was doubly painful last night with the two-run home runs because, you know, there's the conversation about the Brewers that they don't barrel baseballs, right? They don't hit enough home runs because slug oftentimes will win you in the playoffs and take you deep into the World Series. Was there any concern from those things that were being said about the Brewers that they would play out in the postseason, which haven't necessarily so far? Do we lose Sparky? We'll get Sparky back. So when it comes to slug, right, like one of the things about hitting home runs in the playoffs, I saw this statistic from 2021 to 2024. In the playoffs, the teams that out-homered their opponents in the postseason won that series 78% of the time. So for a team that doesn't hit a lot of home runs, it can be concerning when you get into the playoffs. Sparky, things that were being said about the Brewers, they don't slug enough. Was that your concern heading into the playoffs? All right, we may have to try to figure out the phone lines here. Someone does not want us to scout the competition of what's happening in Milwaukee again. And I will tell you this, from what we're seeing tomorrow, the matchup, Jameson Taillon will go for the Cubs. And we'll get a better idea. Will it be local guy, Chicago guy, Quinn Priester, who ends up going for the Milwaukee Brewers? Just a reminder that that game not only will be heard right here on The Score, but Raheem Harris and Grody will be live from Gallagher Way from 10 to 2. And then Spiegel and Holmes will be there from 2 to 3:30. The official pregame coverage begins at 3:30 with that first pitch at 4:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. We'll get back to Sparky in just a minute. One of the conversations that we've been having today is, have we been saying the name Craig Counsell too much from where the Cubs find themselves currently? Let's try Sparky again. Sparky, are you there?
Yeah, I've been here. Okay. You guys got me now? You're good?
I got you now. So you've heard my question multiple times.
Yes, I have.
Concerns about the Brewers not being able to barrel the baseball enough. Was that a real concern for you?
I think the national narrative obviously seeps into local sports talk radio, right? You have those conversations. I said before the series started that this is bigger than just the Brewers, you know, going and winning a championship. While it would be huge, it would be the Brewers' first, you know, win of a World Series in the history of the Brewers organization. And don't get me wrong, the parade would be amazing and all of that. But you're talking about doing something that could kind of maybe change the way teams are built going forward. If this Brewers team wins this whole thing, doing it the way they've done it all year without, you know, that long ball and winning it in different ways, you know, who knows? Sports are copycat leagues. Yep. Maybe everybody turns around and says, you know what? We are going to care that I don't want my guys, you know, striking out every other at bat and just swinging for the fences. And yeah, we're going to play with speed and contact, and we're going to go back to doing it like they did in the 80s, essentially. And we're going to go back and try to win baseball games that way instead. It could be a complete game changer if they're able to finish this. And, you know, even if they get past Chicago, the Dodgers are waiting. That's who beat the Brewers in the NLCS in 2018. So that would be a rematch kind of that. That's a super talented team, and that would be a tough one to get past.
He's Sparky Fikefer, host of Wisconsin Sports Daily Weekdays on The Fan in Milwaukee. Sparky, was this series being against Craig Counsell, really, did it add to the fuel for the Brewers, or is that just an interesting storyline?
I hate the traitor. So for me, don't lose to this dude. I didn't want to play them. Didn't want anything to do with it. I rather would have played the Padres, even though that was probably a more difficult matchup for the Brewers. But as you can tell, I'm not the only one that doesn't like that guy anymore. When he comes in, everybody boos him. I think from a fan perspective, it is all about that. From a player and coaching perspective, I don't think it's about that at all. Pat Murphy was trying to defend Counsell and a presser, I think it was yesterday, whatever, saying, you know, he wishes people liked him more, and, you know, Counsell's all about Milwaukee and high school sports and this and that. And that's met with an eye roll, I think, by many Brewers fans, like, okay, that's nice, Pat, you're friends with him, we get it. But for the most part, you know, I don't think this is going to change. We went through Brett Favre, and he was just up front, like, okay, I want out of here. You want to play as Aaron Rodgers, by all means, I'm out of here, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to kick your butt, and it's going to be vengeful when I get to the Vikings eventually at some point. And then he got to the Vikings, and he did beat them, and it was up front. This deal here was not necessarily that, but it took a decade at least for Packer fans to move on from Brett Favre and to kind of forgive and move on with what he is at. I don't know how long this takes with Counsell. I will say this. If they win a World Series in Chicago with him as manager and the Brewers never get one, then it's going to make it even more impossible, I think, for him to be forgiven going forward. If the Brewers win a World Series, then I don't think it's as big of a deal if he wins one in Chicago, because Brewer fans will have gotten what they wanted, you know, with a different manager. So it'll be interesting going forward. But I don't think William Contreras or Christian Yelich, none of those guys got bad blood with Counsell. I don't think there's anything to that whatsoever.
So what should we expect on the mound tomorrow for the Brewers?
This is their best deep in-game option here, Quinn Priester. And this is a guy that consistently is going to get you at least six. And a couple of times a year, he's got you into the seventh, eighth inning. He's a ground ball pitcher. The fact that the wind is blowing in is even better. That just plays to everything that they want to do. The Cubs obviously are all about, you know, power, like we've heard about. Like, that was going to be the difference in the series. Oh, the wind blowing in, that'll make that a little bit more difficult. The Brewers won't care that the wind's blowing in. They'll score in other ways. My thing that I want to see is, I want to see if Jameson Taillon can have two really good games in a row. He pitched well in the first postseason game. Can he put another one out there the same way he did the first time? I think that's the key to the series. If Taillon goes five, six innings, he only gives up – one or two runs and keeps that thing close, I think the Cubs will have every opportunity to win it. If Taillon reverts to what he has looked like in the past, where he gives up four or five in, three or four innings, then I think the Cubs are going to be in trouble, because based on the back end of that bullpen yesterday and what that looked like with Koenig and McGill and Uribe, it's going to be tough for Chicago to score runs on those three, I think.
Sparky, has Pat Murphy outmanaged Council, or the Brewers just been getting it done for more offensively?
I don't know. I think baseball is tough when you start talking about outmanaging things. It's not like you're calling defenses or calling offenses or anything like that, and there's some like type of big strategy. I will say that Murphy completely surprised not only the Trader Council, but everybody in the baseball community when he went bullpen game. I think when that game started, everybody in that Cubs coaching staff expected Priester to be out there after Ashby was done. I think that's what everybody thought was going to happen.
Yep.
And then when it didn't happen, and you see the in-game interview with him, and he's like, I guess this is going to be a bullpen game for them, so we're going to have to figure out how to get some type of momentum here at some point. That, I think, threw them for a loop, and I don't think they were necessarily prepared to go through that. And when it's a bullpen game like that and everybody's pitching well, you don't ever get to see anybody twice. So as a batter, when it's a starter, you get to at least see that starting pitcher at least twice, sometimes three times in Major League Baseball. Nowadays, it used to be three all the time, but at least twice now. When it's that situation, you don't see anybody twice. So the next time you come up to bat, okay, it's Aaron Ashby. Then it's Mizorowski. Then it's Jared Koenig. Like, it continues to change, and it's hard to get into that rhythm. And it kept the Cubs off balance for the entire night.
How fresh is that Brewers bullpen?
Really fresh.
Yeah.
Because you get days off in between. Koenig had been pitching really well in September. He was one of the bright spots for them. He has been kind of up and down throughout the year. He was really good. Then he went through a little bit of a lull, and then he finished really strong. He still looks good. McGill had been hurt for a while. He only got, one game in there at the end of September or whatever. So this was a big question mark going in. How would he look? He looked good yesterday. Fastball velocity a little bit down, but threw it with confidence, so feel good there. And Uribe has stepped up as the closer since McGill went out with injury, and he looks really good too. And the surprising development, if there was one, was Jacob Mizorowski, because he hasn't pitched well. When he came in from AAA, he went through, two straight games without not giving up a hit, which was really impressive. And then he gets hit on a comebacker and misses some time on the IL or whatever. And then since then, nobody's really talking about him, really not spotlight. And he kind of fell back into his old ways of walking guys and having issues. And then yesterday he comes in, spotlight on him, scuffled a little bit, maybe in that first inning, but not too badly. And then he goes, crazy, jumping up and down once he got through it. Then he settled in for that second and third inning of work, and he was really good. If Mizorowski is this good going forward, this team is going to be really tough to score runs on.
Yeah, they certainly were. I saw that 104 yesterday, and the Cubs were facing 104 against Mason Miller. It's like, so is this where we are now? Like, it's the norm, but it's like, I can't believe how much velocity we're seeing in baseball right now.
But the difference is, I'm not sure how tall Miller is, but the difference here is Mizorowski's 6'7". So you start coming down. By the time that ball comes out of your hands, yeah, it's going 104, but it probably feels more like 106 because of where the ball actually gets released when he comes off that mound, which makes it even more difficult to hit than versus, a 6'1" guy at the end of the day. And then when he starts throwing that curveball for strikes and he's got that slider going, he likes to drop that changeup in, he gets all his pitches working. He's really, really dangerous. And yesterday he was amped, right? 104. We haven't seen 104 all year. That was the first time we saw it as Brewer fans. So that was a first for us. But he was having problems controlling it because he was overthrowing it. And then once Contreras got him to settle down and get back to like 100 to 102, then he was able to finally start spotting that fastball again.
Well, Sparky, I'm with you. If there is a game Thursday, it will be most likely because Jameson Taillon is outstanding and may be able to go deeper in the game than we think he's going to. But it's going to be tough because the Brewers look so fresh and the Cubs look absolutely exhausted at this stage of the season.
The one thing, one benefit, positive, I guess there is that Pat Murphy today said in his presser that when Jackson Churio got pulled in the ninth inning of that game, it's because he felt that hamstring have an issue again. So now we're going to have to wait and see if Jackson Churio
plays. I'm not falling for that again, Sparky.
Thursday,
no.
We'll have to wait and see.
Pat Murphy made it sound like they were going to have to amputate after game one. And then there he is hitting leadoff back in the outfield, hitting three-run jacks. It's like, save it with Cheerios health. I'm expecting him hitting leadoff back in the outfield and ready to go. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe again with Pat Murphy.
Well, I've been on the radio. I was on the radio before that game yesterday, blasting Pat Murphy and the Brewers for putting him in that lineup. It's like, you're up one game to zero. It does not matter. If you lose and you're 1-1, you're still more than fine going back to Chicago.
It shows you how healthy he is, that he was out there,
right,
to your
but
point.
This is the thing. I'm not blowing out a hamstring and then losing him for the rest of the postseason because you're trying to win game three in the NLDS at this point, up 2-0. If it's me, I'm not playing him. But
what did Pat say? Oh, it could be devastating. It could
yeah,
be
correct.
Devastating.
Yes. That's what he said after game one. Correct, yes. And then the MRI is inconclusive. Uh-huh. I think it was Ron Darling said maybe they threw it out and couldn't find it. Who knows? But
yeah. Uh-huh.
Either way, you know, if he plays, that's great. If he doesn't play, then it's Isaac Collins, who at one point this year was in the Rookie of the Year conversation. Has not played well. Coincidentally, since he had his kid and took a couple of days off back earlier in the summer, hasn't been the same. But again, he definitely has the potential to be really good too, depending on how this break treated him. So the Brewers, I think, still would be okay. When they won 14 straight, Jackson Churiel was out hurt with a hamstring injury. He did not play in that whole streak.
Sparky, so, we'll glad we got the phones figured out. Appreciate your time so much tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a good night.
All right, that's him. Sparky Pfeiffer from The Fan in Milwaukee. Quinn Priester. Local guy Quinn Priester versus Jamison Town tomorrow. Cary Grove High School's own Quinn Priester grew up a Cubs fan from Glendale Heights. This will be an interesting matchup. Let's go back to the phones. 312-644-6767. Mark is with us in Shorewood, wants to talk about the Cubs. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, and thanks for taking my call. You know, I just want to comment. One of your previous callers had made mention about getting PCA maybe out in the first position and just go back towards some context. They got to do something different, and you know what? I never really thought about it much, but it's really not a bad idea. They got to do something different because what they're doing right now isn't working. What about just telling PCA, hey, your bat's not, you're struck out 10 times. I want you to lay down a bunt. I want you to get on base. Go back and do the little small things that made him successful. I mean, his speed is just killer, and they need that. They need him on base.
Mark, to your point, I don't know why he has to, like, why him moving in the lineup necessarily would have to change what you're talking about. Like, if you want him to bunt, then let him bunt hitting ninth, let him hit bunting seventh. The problem is he can't stop striking out. But to do something new, it's like, I just want him to do something new at the plate or different at the plate. It doesn't matter where he hits in the lineup. I mean, I'd rather have Nico hitting leadoff. Nico's earned it.
We forget one thing. You know, PCA is still a young guy. You know, these are like, let's call them growing pains in a sense, you know. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but you know, they got to do something. They are running out of time real quick.
Yeah. Mark, thanks for the phone call. And we can continue the conversation on the other side as well. We've been asking you tonight. You get to make one major decision tomorrow, whether it's lineup, rotation, pitching, whatever it is. You can put your managerial hat on. And let's talk about what you would do. Why? Because we're kind of up against it. We got 9 innings left to go of Cubs baseball, unless they win. Unless they win. But we know how good the Brewers have looked, but they will be back to Wrigley Field, and so let's enjoy what could be our last Cub game in 2025. But the goal tomorrow, quite simply, is let's just try to play Thursday. And if you can get to Thursday, the goal is as simple as let's just try to play Saturday. And that means operating in desperation. Like that's how Craig Counsell is going to have to manage this game. But really, if they want a chance to win tomorrow, if they want a chance to get back to Milwaukee, this is relying on the shoulder of Jamison Tyone. Like, this will not only be J-Mo needing to be good, but he may need to give him 5 innings. Because that is a gassed bullpen. It is a tired team. I mean, remember how they finished up against the San Diego Padres? Like, Brad Keller was bouncing pitches in front of home plate. And Keller has been outstanding the entire year. But this is a gassed group that did not get any sort of addition at the trade deadline. Nothing major. And then you lose your best arm in the second half in Cade Horton. 312-644-6767. We'll get to these phone calls. How is Jamison Tyone feeling about his matchup tomorrow? We will get inside his head. He talked to the media today. We'll hear from Tyone coming up next on 6-7 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Contreras drives one to deep left. If it's fair, it's a long home run. Long home run. William Contreras. A home run to the second deck. Right down the line and left. Gone by plenty. The only question was fair or foul. And that gives Milwaukee their first lead, 4-3.
Well, Pat Hughes has called a lot of Contreras home runs. Unfortunately, that was William Contreras and a home run for the Milwaukee Brewers. As they move ahead, 2-0 of this 5-game series, Judson Richards along with you all the way until 9 o'clock this evening. So another 90 minutes to go, a chance for you to jump in at 312-644-6767. How do you feel about where the Cubs are currently? Do you have confidence that they'll win tomorrow? If you could make one change for this Cubs roster, lineup, bullpen, whatever it would be, what would you do? We'll let you put your manager hat on for potentially one last time for Cubs baseball unless they can survive and move ahead till Thursday. Our pregame begins at 3:30. First pitch right here on 6-7 The Score with Pat, Ron, and Zach at 4:08. Only local broadcast in the Chicagoland area. By the way, coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get to a little bit of Bears tonight. We'll ask you, is Monday night's game against the Commanders a potential statement win for the Bears if they can get it done? Or is that making too much out of it? We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Also in the 8 o'clock hour, Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times will join us on the beat of the Bears. The Bears had 5 starters out against the Raiders. How healthy are the Bears going to be against the Commanders in about 6 days in Monday Night Football? We will talk to Patrick coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Before we get back to really the reaction to Craig Counsell and how he's performed in this postseason. And I think Craig deserves plenty of blame. I do not think he should be alone by any means. And so we will add some company into Craig Counsell and where we find ourselves where we are, albeit the Cubs are in the NLDS for the first time since 2017 and really a 92-win team. That's a team that ultimately lost Justin Steele and currently they're without Cade Horton. We'll get to that in just a moment. I did find it was not sign stealing, per se. I did find what the Brewers were doing last night pretty interesting. And I'm surprised at times that we don't see more teams doing it. If you missed it last night, the Brewers looked like they were simply relaying signs from second base to where the catcher was setting up. So they were telling the hitter, he's moving inside. This looks like it's going to be an inside pitch. And very simply, just using their arms, somewhat pointing in the direction of where the catcher was going. Ryan Sweeney of the Marquee Sports Network, former big leaguer, was talking about it this morning on 6-7 The Score with Mully and Haw.
Well, we were looking last night, too, in the post-game show, and we didn't mention it, but it was like 2.02 per 9 innings pitched is how many homers he's giving up. And league average is like 1.1. So almost, you know, I mean, is double of what is normal. And I mentioned it a little bit and I thought it needed to be brought attention to. And, you know, anytime a guy's coming off an injury, he threw good a couple outings right after he had that hamstring problem. But I talked about it last night. When Shota first came up, we talked a lot about, okay, he's got that 93, 94 mile an hour velo. It kind of gets on you and it rides up. And look, Shota knows how to pitch. And I think that's why he's gotten away with it. Well, now, I mean, first inning, he had a little bit of juice, playoff game, 93. We saw like one or two 94s. Then second and third inning was 89-90 miles an hour. And big league pitchers, you hang that out over the middle, or big league hitters, sorry, they're not going to miss those pitches. And there's, I mentioned it last night too, there's not too many guys that are throwing 90 miles an hour. So guys can sit back, and then that doesn't make your secondary stuff look as well. And when you hang a sweeper or you hang a splitty, I mean, they're going to make you pay, and that's what Vaughn did last night.
All right, so that was Ryan Sweeney with Mullenhall this morning. That was about Shoti Manoga, not about the pitch stealing, or I guess I would say sign tipping of what was going on at second base. It's really rather simple what they were doing. And to be honest, you see it a lot more in college. Like, I played baseball in college, and we used to relay signs that way. And we would go a little bit deeper into it, right? If a catcher would drop down, let's say like a 3-1-2. So that would be like a slider, a fastball, a curveball, and then one of those would be the pitch. So you wouldn't know just what it was with one sign. We would go write it down in the dugout and then try to break the code to see which number they were ultimately using. And the very simple way to do it is also just tell the direction of where the catcher is going. But to combat it is very easy. So a catcher can set up really late, so it's tough to relay it, and the hitter has to be looking at the pitcher. Or a catcher can deke and set up outside and then move inside just as the pitch was about to be delivered. You don't see it a lot around Major League Baseball, and to be honest, I think it's because it's considered kind of amateur. Like, you see it in college. You probably see it more in high school, and you don't see it at the big league level. Oftentimes at the big league level, it's not just going through the motions, but, you know, for example, in college, you've got to sprint on and off the field, otherwise your coach is yelling at you. In the bigs, you play 162 games, you take your time going on and off the field. And so there are things where that extra effort or that added effort that you'd see in a collegiate game, it's a bit more lax of those things that you see in the big league game. The question is, at this stage of the game in the NLDS, should you be doing everything possible to win games? And if the Brewers, the number one seed in all of baseball, like if the Brewers get to the World Series, their 97 wins was best in baseball. They will have home field advantage. So if the gutty little Brewers feel like they should be doing it and are actually having success doing it, it's like, well, why isn't my team doing it? Why isn't my team doing every little thing? Even if it looks amateurish, even if it looks a bit collegiate, the Brewers look collegiate because they're all like 5'7". They also have won 97 games and are one win away from being in the National League Championship Series. So the term sign stealing should be nowhere near what they were doing. They were virtually just being a well-communicative team. They were communicating well to each other and are using any advantage that they can to go out and win games. And so instead of saying that's Bush League or that's collegiate, you should be saying, why is my team not doing that? Now, did they actually get added advantage from it? Daniel Palencia, when he's throwing 101 miles per hour, if I'm a hitter, I'd like to know if that pitch is coming inside or outside. He may miss his location, and so it may not work out perfectly. But if you can have any added advantage when you have the decision-making as a hitter when the ball is coming 101 miles per hour, you'd probably want it. So there's two thoughts. One, why are the Brewers doing it and my team isn't? Two, why would you ever let a team have any sort of success in doing something as simple as just showing direction? Because you can combat direction. You can set up late, or you can deke and set up outside and move inside, or set up inside and move outside. And your pitcher has to know, hey, make sure you're not thrown to my glove immediately because I'm going to move. Right? Like, that may distract some pitchers, but I'd rather have a late moving catcher than have a hitter know if the ball is coming inside or outside. So if the 97 win team can do it, perhaps your team should consider doing it as well. Jameson Taillon gets the ball tomorrow. He talked to the media today. Here is where his mindset is at.
Games 1 and 2 didn't go the way we wanted. That being said, I think a lot of guys have said it. Just all we can focus on is tomorrow. And if we want to make a run at this thing and try to come back, like, we have to win tomorrow. You can't look too far ahead. So how that pertains to me is just doing my job, going out there and setting the tone, preparing the right way, taking notes, watching video, going about my process the right way, and making sure I'm buttoned up and ready to go. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. Like, it starts tomorrow, and obviously being a starting pitcher, like, hopefully I can do my job and set the tone and see where that can take us.
How would you just describe this run you've been on personally, just with how well you've been pitching, and what do you feel like has been the key to that?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the second half was a little choppy for me, getting hurt. I had some really tough starts, and then I got hurt. And I was able to just use that time to regroup and obviously rehab my calf, but also try to find ways to get better while I was down and diagnose, you know, why I was struggling and what was going on. And I feel like there's been some pitch usage things. I feel like we've optimized some of my pitch grips and the way I'm using things. Yeah, and just, you know, when I go on rehab starts, being intentional about what I want to get done and the kind of work I want to do so I'm ready when I come back. And then, yeah, just some of it's momentum. You know, you have one good outing and you remember what that feels like and just try to carry that over. So, yeah, I mean, it's been good. And at the same time, like, every game has a new life. And, you know, the Brewers don't care what I did 5 days ago. Like, I have to go out there and do things the right way again tomorrow.
I care what Jameson Taillon did 5 days ago. And I thought he was really, really sharp against the San Diego Padres. But this is going to be a very, very different lineup. This is a much better lineup. It doesn't look like it really on paper. I guess it doesn't look like it financially. If you look at the money paid to Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts. But, you know, that's who the Brewers are, right? Christian Yelich nicknamed themselves the Average Joes. Freddy Peralta is not an average Joe. Jacob Mizorowski throwing 104 miles per hour, that's like the least average thing I've ever seen. But from a lineup, really, if you look at it, outside of Jackson Chirio and maybe Christian Yelich, it's pretty impressive what they do. But, you know, the deeper that they go in the playoffs, the less average Joes they will be, because we'll ultimately learn more about them. But if we want to get to Thursday, if we want to watch more Cubs baseball, it's going to come down to the arm of Jameson Taillon. And then offensively, they need to score some damn runs. I mean, that's about as simple as you can put it. And as far as changes that need to be made to the lineup, which we've been asking you about, I don't expect anything at all notable tomorrow, especially with Quinn Priester being a right-hander. Right? The Cubs are going to go a little bit with not only who brung you, but they're going to go with the veteran players. Like, I know that Cubs fans are screaming about Ian Happ. He's going to be in left field. He's going to be in the lineup. You may be upset. Again, Justin Turner won't be in the lineup because it's Quinn Priester. You're going to have Michael Bush back at first base. All I'm saying is the one move that I know is also is automatic is that Kyle Tucker will be back in the lineup. I do not expect Moises Ballesteros to be in, right? Matt Shaw has struggled mightily. You're not going to get Willie Castro at third base. It's just going to be the way that it is. I wish I had a very, very clear answer, though, on the health of Kyle Tucker. Because in sports, we know there is a major difference between hurt and injured. Hurt, you can still be effective, no excuses. Injury, someone else should be playing.
Doesn't it feel like this is going to be one of those things where a week after the season ends, oh, Kyle Tucker had surgery?
It does
on
a little
something.
Bit. Yeah, it does a little bit. Because, like, I think the reason why I take issue of watching this over and over is how bad he labors down to first base. Right?
Guy can't run.
He can't run. And
that's why he's not playing in the field, because he can't run.
And so he has hamstrung the lineup. But again, it is your legs that matter so much as a hitter. And so if you cannot run, the pain in his body, this is not Kirk Gibson hobbling on one leg to the plate. Although, one of the greatest moments in baseball. It's not that, but it still doesn't mean that he isn't playing at 70%. And if he is at 70%, then give me Moises Ballesteros at 100%. I'm done watching a guy play on one leg. I give him props, I give him his kudos, but at this point it looks like he is hindering the team far more than he is helping the team. He will be in the lineup. This is not a debate, this is not a question by any means. But damn it, I'm tired of watching him go up to the plate not looking anything like himself. 312-644-6767. Dominic is with us in Glendale Heights. Hey, Dominic, you're on the Score.
Hey, how you doing today? You're absolutely right. Tucker needs to sit, and you put Moises as a DH, okay? Because Moises brings you some fresh legs, a fresh bat, and a fresh attitude. Tucker looks like he's totally dead out there, which carries on to the other team. To the rest of the team. It's just, it's a mental game, and it's not helping that he's in the lineup. It's really not. And a couple other guys could go too, but you only said one.
Yeah, Dominic, you're right. You know, listen, Kyle Tucker he's probably built for baseball because this is much more of your 9-to-5. This is not every Sunday. It's 162 games. But he does kind of have this, well, kind of way about him. And I think that that's also getting to me too. Well said, Dominic. Well said. 312-644-6767. You want to stay on the Cubs? We can get any phone calls on the other side. We will also tackle some Bears a bit as well. Is Monday night's game against the Commanders a potential statement win for the Bears? Or is this making too much out of a return to the Fail Mary spot? That's coming up next on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy!
That was the call on CBS. Judson Richards back here with you until 9 o'clock this evening on 6-7 The Score. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why would you play that? Studs and I, we are preparing you. Like, it's like you've got that soft skin when you hear that. We are callousing you up for the next week of having to hear about the Fail Mary, having to hear about Tyreek Stevenson, how it all went down. As the Bears look for redemption on Monday Night Football coming up in just about 6 days. So get ready. Get ready to hear Jim Nance. Get ready to hear that call on CBS. The miracle. Not what we call it here in Chicago, but we'll get into that matchup coming up here in just a minute. I did want to remind you, Football Talk on the Score presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up the 8 o'clock hour, Patrick Finley of Chicago Sun-Times. We will talk all things Bears with him, including the Bears were missing five starters against the Raiders. Darnell Wright, Grady Jarrett, Colston Loveland, Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards. We'll get an idea from Patrick about how many of those guys we could see against the Commanders coming up on Monday Night Football. Question for you out there. Is this one of those statement kind of games? We saw a statement game over the weekend. The Denver Broncos beating the Buffalo Bills, right? The statement game that tells you...
Broncos beat the Eagles.
I'm sorry, Broncos beat the Eagles. Who the Patriots beat the Bills.
So the Bills kind of beat themselves.
I think the Patriots would disagree, but you're probably right. But they're, you know, those are both examples, thank you, Studs, of statement games. Would you put this in that category? Should Ben Johnson be framing it to get his team fired up to play the Commanders? I am one of those. I'm not a big believer of creating something like this for a statement game to get them not only to relive it, but also the embarrassment of it, because they have the Saints the following week at Soldier Field. And doesn't that feel a little bit like a trap game if you were to win this emotional kind of game against the Washington Commanders? You know, if any of you out there kind of live in that space of self-help, one of the most popular books out there, Atomic Habits. Anytime you're living in a self-help world, they're talking about habits. And there's a reason for it, because habits are really, really important. And what Ben Johnson is trying to build, or at least what I would think he's building, is that every week is about some semblance of a statement, but it's more about you than them, because you want to become the Philadelphia Eagles or the Buffalo Bills, where people are framing you as the statement game. So if you are the Eagles or the Bills, how do you get yourself up for a game when you are the statement, right? Like, you're building towards the statement. Now, the Bears, very naturally, anyone who was on that team last year should have that game circled. And I am thoroughly excited, because this is somewhat of a Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. Number one versus number two. Should have number two gone over number one. As Caleb Williams is somewhat escalating towards a quarterback that we believe he can be under Ben Johnson, this is just another chance for him to prove it. But more importantly for me, since I'm not going to dub it a statement game, this is more simply about the Bears finding the identity that they want to have, right? Like, how about establishing a legitimate rushing offense to complement your play action pass? How about actually getting to the quarterback, whether it's quarterback hurries, quarterback hits, like establishing the identity of the team that Ben Johnson wants the Bears to become, instead of getting all whipped up in a frenzy for Monday Night Football and then wondering how you're going to recreate that against the lowly New Orleans Saints? There will be a very natural excitement for the Commanders, but a statement game, I don't know if the Commanders are worthy of a statement game. The Eagles, all right. The Bills, okay. The Chiefs, maybe. But you want to become the statement game, not just trying to find creative ways to get up for it. Ben Johnson today at the podium. Here he is on this matchup against the Commanders.
Big opponent at hand. This is a good team. I think when you watch their tape, what stands out is, you know, their play style more than anything. And it's all three phases. You turn on special teams tape, they're flying around. You turn on defense, they're physical and they're flying around. And then offensively, it's the same story. And so a lot of credit to Coach Quinn. It's in his image, and we'll have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, the Commanders are good. The Commanders are 3-2. They had a deep playoff run last year. The Bears are 2-2. The Bears are on a two-game winning streak. Commanders have won one in a row. The Bears have won two in a row. So before you convince yourself that, you know, this is an organization that much better than you, the Bears have some very winnable games in front of them. And I'd be more curious to see or how Ben Johnson makes it about each and every week, as opposed to finding ways to get up for these individual weeks. Because when you have teams that are lesser than you, like, have you seen the Ravens recently? The Ravens look drastically different than what we thought they were going to look like. The Cincinnati Bengals, did they trade for Joe Flacco today?
They did. For some reason.
As a quarterback's offensive coordinator.
I mean, he's technically better right now than Jake Browning.
He is.
He's a better option, but I mean, there's a reason he was benched in Cleveland, you know? He wasn't playing well.
And studs all. I'll give you credit.
An even worse offensive line in Cincinnati, too.
I'll give you credit. When I said that the Bears have the fifth most difficult schedule in front of them this offseason, you said schedules always change. Things always look different. Now, my pushback was, well, the Bears haven't looked very different year in, year out. But you made the point, and you are right. When I look at the Vikings, it's very different. When I look at the Ravens, it's very different. When I look at the Bengals, it's very different. That's all on their schedule.
And the Bengals are one of the worst teams in the league when Joe Flacco. They're the Indianapolis Colts without Peyton Manning when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And they're that roster's that bad without
Burrow. Joe Burrow. Right. It absolutely plummets. And that's how great Joe Burrow is. I mean, he is legitimately a top three quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion.
Although they were... Even when he was healthy, they were struggling to win games.
Speaking of health, how healthy will the Bears be against the Commanders coming up in 6 days? We'll get back to the Cubs as well. Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times joins us next on 6-7 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.